In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maria Amlech Udus Ara. Maria Amlech Udus Ara. This is the Shuraya that I chanted, which is the Shuraya is the psalmody before the Old Testament reading and the epistle reading from St. Paul. Every week there is one, but on high feast days we sing the kind of more grandiose one. And every week of the liturgical year, there's a different psalm that the church chooses based on the gospel reading and based on the season that we're in. Maria Amlech Udus Ara. This means the Lord reigns, let earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let earth rejoice. Why does it choose that particular psalm to chant in the middle of the readings during the liturgy of Easter Sunday? What is Easter Sunday about? It's obviously about the resurrection of Jesus, but what is that really about? The resurrection of Christ is proof to all of us and to the entire world that God is victorious, that evil does not win in the end, that sin does not have the last word, that darkness is not going to triumph, but it will be triumphed. Darkness will not have the last word. Light will have the last word. God will be victorious in the end. And the proof of it is the resurrection of Jesus, which is a foreshadow of what's to come at the end of the world for all of the world, and especially for those who are believers and who are united to Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading for today begins with, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark." John makes a point of that. That is intentional from St. John. It's not just because it was physically dark outside, meaning that it was probably before sunlight came out, but he's intentionally making a point of this because he plays between dark and light, darkness and light throughout the gospel. Throughout the Gospel of John, he's saying the darkness has not overcome the light. The light entered the world and the darkness has not overcome it. In the third chapter, Jesus is talking about how men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. The play of words between dark and light in the Gospel of John is prominent. It's kind of a constant theme throughout the entire gospel. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he tells him in secret, because he doesn't want to show that he's a believer of Christ, he says, "We know that you're a teacher come from God," and he begins to flatter him. John makes it a point to say Nicodemus came to Jesus while it was nighttime to say that he's doing this thing in secret. So this theme of darkness and light is a constant throughout the Gospel of John, and it's here because it's not just because it was dark outside, but because it was dark within. The heart of Mary Magdalene was darkened, not because she's a dark person, but because she's going through a really dark time. Her Lord has died, and now he's buried, and she's going to his burial spot to anoint his dead body. This is the hope of Israel. This is the hope of all of these people. This is where everybody placed all of their love and all of their attention in this one man, Jesus Christ, and he had been now crucified. Their hope is done. They are now in despair. Mary Magdalene stands in for all of those people at the time in this gospel reading. And we know this from other parts of the gospel. The apostles were dismayed. They were distraught. So much so that Thomas wouldn't believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. The two disciples that are walking to Emmaus, they were walking, it says in Chaldean, they were walking, could ani ribine, which means while they were in sorrow. So this is the theme there around the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is dead, everybody knows it, and everybody's going through a deep darkness in their hearts because light seems to have been completely covered. The doors of hope seem to have completely closed. Mary Magdalene stands for every one of us as well, because every one of us goes through our own darkness in our own hearts. Every single one of us struggles in this life with suffering, We all struggle to hope that something good is going to come from this life, that life means something, that my pain in this life has a purpose, that evil, which is very prominent, maybe in my own heart, but also in the hearts of the people around me, and certainly in the world around us as we're seeing it, how can such evil, how can such prominence, how can such power of sin be overcome? And many of us will think about this and will analyze it and will say, there's no way. Light cannot prevail in the end. The darkness is too strong. And we might feel that way about our own lives oftentimes. And so many people fall into a kind of despair and they give up. But the resurrection of Jesus is proof to all of us, to every single one of us, that God is victorious. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb while it's dark because it's the disposition of her heart. Her heart is darkened because of the tragedy that she's endured with every other follower of Jesus. And she goes and she looks in, and the tomb is empty. It doesn't even cross her mind that Jesus is risen from the dead. She thinks somebody stole the body. So she goes back to the disciples and she says, someone stole the body of Jesus. And the disciples go and they look and they leave, and she stays there at the tomb. Here's one beautiful thing about Mary Magdalene that we, every single one of us, should imitate. She stays at the tomb and she's there crying. She's there in pain and she still thinks that Jesus is dead. She doesn't know that he's risen from the dead. But she is there waiting for him, looking for him in her pain, in the depths of her darkness. She's there waiting for Christ, hoping in him, just even to see even what she thought was his dead body. On the other side of this, during the liturgical year, the church takes us on the journey every single year, year after year. The church takes us on the journey through the life of Christ so that we, as members of his body, are walking with him throughout his life. And so we begin with Advent. We begin in December, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces that Jesus is going to be born. And then we go into Christmas, where Jesus is born. And then we keep going through the life of Jesus all the way up to the end of time when the church is crowned. In the middle of it is Holy Week, which Easter Sunday is the end of. And Holy Week is extraordinarily intense. We are walking with Jesus in the climax of his life. Let's say we begin with Thursday, and he celebrates the first Mass, the Last Supper, with his disciples. We have the Holy Thursday Mass here with the washing of the feet. And then we go into the beginning of Jesus' Passion, where Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane right after the Last Supper. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he is, and he brings three of his closest apostles with him, three friends that he asks to be with him, to simply accompany him, to be friends with him while he goes into his suffering. And he brings them with him, and he tells them, wait here, I'm going to go right over there so I can pray. Just be with me, stay up with me, accompany me, watch with me, etc. Because at this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is going to feel the weight of all of the sin of the world, all of the evil of the world, all of the pervading darkness of the history of mankind, past, present, and future. That's going to be laid bare on Jesus' shoulders, and is going to knock him to the floor, as it says in the gospel. And he's suffering, and he's in the midst of his suffering. He's in the midst of all that darkness. And then he goes back to his friends to kind of get some comfort, some consolation from his buddies, and they're asleep. They're asleep. They don't stay up with him. And he says, wake up and pray. Pray with me. And then he goes back, and he comes back again, and they're asleep. And he goes, does it again. The third time, and they're asleep again. Jesus prays to the Father, if all things are possible with you, if it can be, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. And he goes back to the disciples the third time, and they're asleep. And he says, could you not just stay up with me 1 hour? Could you not just handle my a little bit, share a little bit of my pain with me for just 1 hour? And then Jesus goes back. He is greeted by Judas with a kiss as a sign of who it is for the Roman soldiers to arrest, and Jesus is arrested. And then all the disciples, as it says in the gospel, abandoned him. It's not enough that our Lord was carrying all of the weight of sin and darkness of the world there at the garden. He also had to be abandoned by all of his best friends, left alone to the Roman soldiers to arrest him and then eventually torture him. Then he's scourged, as we know, and he has to carry his cross all the way up to Calvary, and he's there on the cross and he cries to God and he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? All of these things we experience with our Lord during Holy Week. And it's intense. Why does Jesus go through all this? Well, because we go through something to a much infinitely smaller degree. We go through darkness as well. And he wants to share that with us. And he wants to carry ours so that we can relate to him, so that we can befriend him. And he's there on the cross and then cries out to the Father, why have you abandoned me? Our Lord at that moment and throughout his passion has been taking all of the darkness of the world, all of the sin of the world and all of its evil, and he has been taking it into himself and accepting all of the pain of it and all of the consequences and the punishment of it. He's been taking it all upon himself in love of you and I, who have done it to him and out of obedience to God. And it's that act of love that's changed the whole thing. Evil cannot be defeated. We are not good enough to defeat evil. Nothing that we can do can conquer darkness and sin. Only the love that Jesus, by which Jesus took all the evil and all the pain of that evil into himself and transformed it through his act of love, only that can transform it. And so he does. To all the observers, to everybody that was there, everybody that knows what happened, Jesus is crucified, Jesus dies, he lifts up his spirit to the Father and he says, to you I commend my spirit. And then he takes his last breath. Evil has conquered. That's what it looks like. So on the third day, Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene, carrying all this in her heart, goes to the tomb, knowing full well that Jesus is there, dead. He's not there. She sees a man. She thinks he's the gardener. And he says, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek? Who are you looking for? And she says, I'm looking for my Lord, whom they have taken away. If you've taken him away, tell me where he is. I can come take him. And then Jesus says her name, Mary. And she recognizes that it's Jesus when he says her name. It calls to mind what Jesus says. The good shepherd names his sheep, calls them by name, and they hear his voice and they follow him. What does this mean for you and me? In the depths of her darkness, she encounters Jesus. You and I often go through difficulties in life, but most of the time we run away from them. Most of the time we distract ourselves from them. Most of the time we just try to blot it out of our minds by some entertainment or some fashion or anything like that. We just try to run away from it as much as possible and then run to this fake lifestyle, run to this superficial thing that will alleviate us of the pain for just a second. Mary Magdalene doesn't do that. She experiences the pain. She stays there at the tomb. She's crying. She's waiting. And that's where Jesus meets her. Just like that's where Jesus would meet us. In the depths of our darkness, we are the most raw and the most real and the most genuine versions of ourselves. And only in that true version of ourselves can we encounter Christ. Because Jesus came and he went into that darkness, into your darkness and mine. And that's where he desires to meet us so that in connecting with us there in the depths of our darkness, he can accompany us all the way up to his glory of his resurrection. Because that's where the act of love is. Not in the superficiality. If we're distracting ourselves, if we're superficial people, if we're fake and ingenuous, forget about it. This is not for us. But if we're going to meet life where it really is, let us stay there by the tomb. Let us look at Jesus dead for us. Let us experience the darkness ourselves, and then he will come and meet us in all of his glory, and he'll say our name, and we'll have that encounter which will change our lives completely. This is what Easter is about. God, at the end of the day, is guaranteed. God is victorious, and we are guaranteed to be victorious with him if we, like Mary Magdalene, will stick it through and meet Jesus in his risen body. But only if we really go through the difficulty that she allowed herself to go through. Amen.